Go to Genesis chapter 1. Glory to God forever. You know what? He put it in the beginning. The mystery was in the beginning. It's been there the whole time. Amen? Well, it's taken a long time. What I'm going to give you is taking a very, very, very long time to understand. But it's so glorious now to at least understand. Part of our calling is not just to enter into things, but to put the pathway down for others to enter in. It's one thing for someone to enter in a calling and a glory, and they'll minister that glory all their life, but they can't duplicate it. It's another thing to lay a pathway down where nations can come up that path. Amen? Genesis 1, are you ready? It's in verse 26. It's the first time he said dominion, and he put the whole mystery of it right there. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And, say and. So you have the image of God, the likeness of God, then you have an and. Amen? And, after we make man in our image, after our likeness, and after that we will let man have dominion. Amen? He says, and let them have dominion. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them in their image, in God's image. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. That's a lot in there. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion after I made you in the image. When the enemy struck man at the fall, deceived man, man lost, immediately lost the image of God. And the law of sin and death entered in. And the first time ever man knew he was naked, he never knew he was naked because he was clothed in God. When that separation come in, that was the foundation of all unbelief. When they asked the Lord, when he come off the Mount of Transfiguration, and they've been trying to get that devil out of that demon-possessed boy, and the Father said, I brought him to your disciples, I brought him to your church, and they could do nothing for him. Not much has changed, has it? They could do nothing. That wasn't just the normal deliverance. Jesus could have said with him, how long am I going to do this for you? He cast the devil out right there. And they said, why couldn't we do that? He said, because of your unbelief. This is not a unbelief like, oh, I believe that Jesus is a healer. I believe Jesus delivers. It's not that kind of unbelief. You can believe Jesus heals and still be sealing with this kind of money, because this unbelief came by separation. When he come off that mountain, he was able to do that because of what happened on that mountain. When they were in the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord said, I don't do these things, it's my Father. He showed how the Father did. The Father came and clothed him in the glory. The glory so clothed him, it lit his clothing up. As white as snow. And it says the disciples saw his glory. He said, now don't tell any man what you've seen until my resurrection, because you're bearing a witness. They were looking at man's original image when the Father clothed the Lord Jesus in light. They were looking at the image. When he clothed him in the glory, they were looking at the image. It was easy for him to exercise dominion. It was very easy for him to do that because he had the Father's image. The Bible says, just as soon as man fell, he predestinated us. Say predestined us to be conformed back to the image. And when the Lord in John 17 says, Father, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee in the beginning before the earth ever was. Glorify thou me. He knew he was returning into the fullness. But the disciples saw it on him in the earth. that image of the presence and the glory of God, that image, I'll just call it this, the life. Say the life. It's the life. See, everyone's trying to go do something with the kingdom of God, but they don't have that image yet. What is the image? It's the glory. What is the glory? It is the life. Now go to Psalms 8 for a minute. A Psalm of David, verse 1, it says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Look at this. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Say, above the heavens. He set his life. When he said, I am the door in John 10. He said, if any man entereth in, he will be saved. And then he'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But notice what he said. I have come. This is my purpose. This is my mandate from God. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't talking about lifestyle right there, even though God gives you lifestyle. Now, we've all been preached, God's come, we have life and have an abundant lifestyle. Yes, you have an abundant life. That's all part of the kingdom, but that's not what he was saying there. I come to restore you to life. What was lost? What Adam lost in his separation, trying to hide from God, clothed himself because he was clothed in the life. That's what clothed him. That was the image of God. That was the glory of God upon him, was the life. What's the first thing that came when the life lifted? Death. Spiritual death entered. He says, the day you eat from that tree, you will surely die. The law of sin and death destroyed the image. And God immediately set forth his plan of redemption to restore man, reconcile man to the Father, to his love, and to man's image. He said when he was a creator, in the beginning was the Word in John 1. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made. And the Bible says, in him, say in him, was the life. And the life was the light of men. It was that life. The difference between him and us before we were born again, he's the first man born with that life since Adam. Not one man was born in the earth since Adam, born in life. Not one. The Bible says death passed upon all men and all had sinned and fallen. That was the point that Paul was making in the book of Romans. He says death passed upon all men. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He was making an argument there. Both Jew and Gentile, just because they had the covenants, you were still born in a state of spiritual death. You still had to have redemption. Even the sacrifice of blood and innocent animals was to cover sin until the Lamb of God could come in and remove the sin of the world. All had sinned and fallen short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That was the state of the human race until that man came in where God took a strain of life from himself. And he seeded Mary's womb. First time that's ever happened in 4,000 years. She was a virgin womb, but God took a strain of life. And she gave birth to the God child. He in him was life, say life. And his life became the light of men. That brand new strain of DNA, he goes, now I'm going to give my life for the world. I'm going to give this life up for the world. When we were born again, we were born right back into that life. Our spirit was created in that image. That's why you are not, I made this statement a couple weeks ago, you are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. Now you're a son. You cannot walk into heaven. You can't operate in the courts of heaven. You can't operate in the secret place if you still think you're a sinner saved by grace. You're a son. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You've been raised together, made to sit together as a joint heir. It's that life that gives you access. It's your spirit that gives you access. It also gives you the capacity to receive. Amen? And that place, and I said, well, Lord, what is this you're doing here? Said, in him was life. If you start reading and meditating the book of John, I mean, all through that, he is talking about the life. He's demonstrating that he's alive. He talks about living waters. He talks about being the bread alive. When he's about to raise Lazarus, he goes, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I come to restore this life to you. I come to restore your image. I come to give you something. I said, well, we're born again, Lord. Well, just dump it on us. He goes, haven't I taught you this already? I'm like, teach me again, Lord. Sometimes you got to do that, you know. You got to say, Lord, teach me again. Tell it to me again. Say it again. He goes, when I restored the inheritance, did I put it in the earth or did I put it in heaven? I've laid up for you all spiritual blessings, what? In heavenly places. Why did he do that? Because he gave it to the first Adam in the earth, and the first Adam lost it, and that's where the devil got all his power. He stole it from Adam. He stole that dominion. He stole that operation from Adam. But God's not going to restore that while the law of sin and death is in the earth. He's not going to go stick it back in the earth. He's already a thief. Imagine the Lord restored all that inheritance, dropped it here in the earth. The enemy would have stolen it 10 times over. He put it somewhere that the thief cannot go. He put your inheritance in heavenly places. All of it. He also put your image there. He put the life there. He goes, now I'll come down here and touch you. I'll rain upon you. I'll visit you. I'll come and extend my grace to you. Extend my operations. But if you want full restoration, you have to come to where I do this. I clothe you from above. I feel you from above. All the spiritual blessing in heavenly places from above. That's why he said, if any follow me, where I am, there shall he be. Also, I will, Father, they come to be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory that I now, the image that I've restored. Man's glory that was lost with Adam, restored in Christ. Christ being the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of the Father. He's now our image. He holds our glory. He holds our life. That's why he said, you are complete in him. Say complete. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness would dwell. He's the head. We are complete in him. We go to him to be restored. We go to him to be clothed on high. We go to him to restore. Amen. So asking the Lord about this and this revelation to come forth, he says, you've been asking me for 29 years to fulfill that. The parts that you've been carrying for 29 years. He said, but what you really need to be asking me for is the foundation for what causes that to work. Did you hear me? He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. See, he clothed man in life. And then he put the dominion on man. It's very easy for man to walk in dominion when he's walking in the life. When the life was restored. When the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw that life. In fact, he lit up his clothes. It said they become so white. Well, when he come down off that mountain, he was just like everybody else. He wasn't glowing like a light bulb. He looked just like everybody else. But something happened there. See, that's the life. That's what they were looking at. That was what originally was on Adam. That was what the Lord had come to restore. That's what he went in when he prayed. He didn't do 5-minute quiet time with his Father. He went in there with a mission. His mission. Because when he said, it's not I that doeth these things, it's my Father that doeth. It's not my doctrine, but my Father's doctrine. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself. It's my Father. My Father's doing the works. My Father's doing it. He goes, I'm telling you, I'm not doing this. The Son of God. Because if he did it in his deity, you couldn't do it. Not ever. He had to do it like us. He had to become a man, humble himself. And he had to be anointed, and he had to surrender into his Father, just the way we surrender into him. But when he went into prayer, he wasn't in there just having a quiet time. He was in there exchanging. Say exchanging. He was in there transforming, transfiguring. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open face beholding him as in a mirror are changed. Say changed. That word is metamorpho. It's the same word for transformation, transfiguration. When the Bible said he was transfigured on the mount, that's the same word. We're transformed into the same what? Image. Let us make man again in our image. Predestinated us to be conformed. He's going to conform you. Here's what we do. Oh, I see, Lord, you're full of love. We go over here in our earth creature outfits. We put on our noble display and we try to do all this. I'm going to be good today. Have you ever done? I'm going to walk in love today. And you need to walk in love. But you're trying to generate all this in your flesh. It doesn't work. That's why it doesn't last very long. That's why those self-promotion seminars don't last, because they get your flesh all hyped up and then you go back to who you are. They get your flesh hyped up enough that you buy all their tapes. They found out it's a lot easier to teach it and sell it to you than do it themselves. They can make a lot more money selling it to you. If they were nearly as successful as they were, they probably wouldn't need to be selling their tapes to you. It's like the guy stands up and promises you 100-fold every time you turn the TV on. If he could get 100-fold, why does he need your money? Why don't he just sow his own seed? Well, I'm going to get me 100-fold. Every day he's promising. I'm like, it doesn't take very long to calculate 100-fold. Man, if you got that kind of power, you don't need me. Do it yourself. Take your own money and give it. But there is power. Someone's got an open heaven in their life, and you give under that open heaven, it'll release things on your behalf. Well, a lot of these people don't have an open heaven. They're just promising you empty promises. But you get somebody with open heaven, the proof's in it. Because you engage in that open heaven and multiplication breaks loose. I remember one time the Lord said, you give that man $2,000 that I don't have $2,000. Just give it to him. And I'm telling you what, $20,000 came right after that. He had it on him. When they got it, they got it. Amen. We all with open face beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed. See, God's going to restore the image and then the dominion. Say the image. I've been wanting the dominion forever. You know it if you've been going to this church. How hard we've gone after that. How hard we've gone after that realm. We got a whole prayer room in there. There's nothing but dominion. Because he's promised it. But he says, if you'll seek me now, as hard as you did for the dominion, if you'll seek me for the image, for the life, for the restoration of the life, you'll find dominion very easy. If you'll come in seeking to be clothed, restored, filled. What's the first miracle he did? Turn water into wine. He took water pots, six of them. Water pots of stone, number of man. He said, take those water pots. What he said, fill them up to the brim. Fill them up. He was saying, he was already testifying right there, I am the living waters. Fill them up with the living water. Fill them up. Restore the life. And then draw it out. We're trying to draw things out when we're not full. Look at the apostles in the earth. They were all full, full, full. He's got to restore the life. It's the life we need. It's the glory. Look at Psalms 8. You still there? Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? You've made him what? A little lower than the angels. Now, Hebrews says this was speaking of Christ. He was made a lower than the angels, and he was crowned with glory and honor, the image. See, the glory and honor first, that's the image. Then thou madest him have dominion over the works of your hand. He restored the glory and then the dominion. Say glory, then the dominion. Glory, then dominion. We got to do it God's way. Because it's the Holy Ghost that's anointing us. He's looking for the life. He is looking, write this down, the Holy Ghost is looking for the life. He anoints the life. That's why when someone's walking in glory, they walk into a place. I remember when we were at a conference and Heidi Baker, God, that woman's so full of God. She walked in a place, the whole place, just full of glory, because that's what she walks in. So dominion's really easy when you're in the glory. Things just happen. Now, I remember, I'm not going to tell you who she turned it over to, but it was an afternoon service. She had to leave, and she turned the mic over to this prophet lady. And as soon as Heidi Baker left, you go, oh, man, as soon as she left, the anointing just, like a vacuum cleaner, sucked right out of the building. And this person was up there trying to minister. And I'm telling you, she lasted 5 minutes and closed the service down. There's no way you could go that high and drop down. Those are two different operations. This one was operating, but Heidi was in this whole nother dimension because she's in the glory realm. So when you're in the glory and you're in the life, that's what the Lord's praying for you. He wants to restore the life. That's exactly what he wants you to have. That's why you come to him where he is. That's why you go through the door. You got a purpose for your prayer life. Your purpose is to be clothed in the life. When you go in there, expect it, seek it, ask for it. Father, clothe me with a life. I am your son. What are you praying for?
Well, I'm spending some quiet time.
What are you praying for? When you go in, expect. It's where you got to know what's in the book of John. He's constantly testifying, I am the life. I come that you might have this life restored. As the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have the life. And the Son to execute judgment. He already executed judgment against our spiritual death, gave us a nature that could come into the presence of the Father. Gave us a nature that could come into the presence and be filled. Start expecting. When you go in there, start asking. Know who you are. Know who God made you. Know what you're in there for. Ask for the life. Seek the life. Seek to be clothed. Seek to be filled. Fill my water pot with living water. He said, woman, if you knew the gift of God that was standing before you, you would ask him of living water. The water I'm going to give you is going to be a well of water. That's going to spring up, bubble up, well up within you with eternal life. And the Lord said, I am going to open that fountain in the last days. I'm going to open the fountain of God within my people. It's a transformation. It's really what Sharon's about to tell you. Sharon, come up here. I just want you to remember, when she starts talking about this, I want you to listen to this. She starts talking about this little caterpillar that goes to a butterfly. The Bible says creation declares the glory of God. In that little caterpillar butterfly, there is a declaration of the transformation that takes place with the sons of God. Now, I know a lot of you want to be high in the sky and eagles. But just think about this right now, because if you view this in terms of a human viewing, you know, you just see the little butterfly flying around. Don't view what she's about to say to you in the terms of human viewing. Think about the butterfly in the life of a caterpillar. It takes him an hour to move a foot. To climb a tree might take him 3 days. When the butterfly can go, shh. Think of what she's about to tell you in the light of that little caterpillar that all his life is confined to the ground, crawling everywhere. He can't even stand on 2 feet. He's constantly this way. Oh, spend your whole life like this. How'd you like to get on your knees, hands and knees, and spend all your life on your hands and knees? And all of a sudden, God is offering you something, creation, to go into a cocoon of oneness with him and come out with something beautiful. Ground dweller. See, that was the image of man. The image of God is full of color. It's full of life, and it'll lift you right off the ground. Sharon, you need to finish this.
I just had just a few things that I wanted to share more about the butterfly. And the butterfly is a visual that our Father has given us about the transformation we receive as becoming a new creation. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, we become a new creature. And scientists have proven that our DNA is changed. We are actually new creatures, and we actually now have the ability, through the renewal of our mind and through seeking and beholding him and getting that glory upon us, to walk on water, to walk through doors, to access the treasuries of heaven, to pray for people with cancer and see it fall off their body. The same dominion and power and authority that Jesus had, we can have. Now, for Heidi Baker, she struggled in the ministry, and her husband, until they got the glory, they had like 3 churches. They were struggling, hardly any believers. Once they had got the glory and they broke into that glory realm, they had 2,000 churches. They had money came easily. Fruit came easily. They were in the realm of heaven, and in heaven, there's no lack. There's no sickness. They're in the realm of the glories, the realm of heaven. So we shared about this on Wednesday, and I'm just going to share just a few things about the caterpillar versus the butterfly. The caterpillar's vision is so limited. But once you become transformed and you're a butterfly, instead of being on the ground, you can fly up to the mountains. You can fly up. And you can see vast distances. You have sight. And everything about the kingdom of God is about sight. Because when Rick Joyner shared about them climbing up the mountain of God, until they climbed up that mountain and became transformed. And remember, the final transformation at the very top of the mountain was when they were in the garden. And they experienced the Father's love. And they beheld him, and they came down as prophets with the glory on them. Once they had the glory, they had the power, and they were able to help the men, women, and children that were on the lower levels that the devil was eating their lunch. They had something on them that could break the power of the devil and set mass amounts of people free. And that's what we're contending here for in this spirit and in this house. And so One of the analogies that the Lord gave me is that the worm is like Satan, or like the serpent. And it says in Genesis 3:14, because you've done this, he deceived Adam and Eve. You are cursed more than animals. You crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust. So at the worm stage, there's no fruit. It's almost like they're under a curse at that stage. They're not showing any fruit. It's all about self. But once the worm will get still, it positions itself on the limb of a tree. And in John 15, it says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Just as a branch can bear forth no fruit without abiding, being vitally attached to the vine, Neither can you bear forth fruit unless you abide in me. That worm attaches itself to the tree, to the limb, and then it allows the outer covering, its outer skin becomes really hard. And that's when it starts going through that transformation process because it's submitted to it. It yielded itself to allow itself to become a butterfly. It surrenders its old life. If that worm said, I'm just going to be a worm for the rest of my life. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to go sit around being transformed. I'm just going to do my own thing. It would just remain a worm. We've got to surrender our old life. Here's a worm that's being transformed into a butterfly, and a butterfly represents freedom. And when it comes out of the cocoon, its old skin, what's fascinating is that old skin has to be softened. It has to be softened in order for it to give birth to the new butterfly. In the same way, it says about the wineskins, that old wineskins, Mark 2:22. No one puts wine in old wineskins, for the wine would burst out, but the wine in the skins would be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. That worm has to get a new wineskin, and it's not going to do it by being hardened and into self. Do you see the visual that the Lord is giving us? And so once a worm becomes a butterfly, the butterfly is redeemed. The worm has been redeemed from the curse of having to eat, work, the toil, to become a butterfly to suck on the nectar of the plants. Now, this in summary, I want to tell you the best thing about butterflies is that butterflies are fruitful. They're fruitful for the kingdom of God. Butterflies are pollinators. And if they did not pollinate the trees, the plants and the flowers, we would have no fruit. They pollinate the plants and the flowers, so they produce seeds and fruit that we eat, and cotton that we can make clothing out of. In fact, 75% of the things that we use come from plants that butterflies help to produce. Do you see the visual? Once you become a butterfly, instead of being a worm and it's all about me eating that next leaf, all about myself, a butterfly affects thousands of plants, thousands of trees, and not only just those trees and plants, then it affects thousands, millions of people. Once you become a butterfly and you submit to that process. And so, and they also, that comes from the dwelling in the secret place. And he says in closing, John 15:5, whoever lives in me bears forth much fruit, abundant fruit. But apart from me, from being in vital union with me, you can do nothing. That metamorphosis is being totally united as one with Christ. As one in him, transformed into his image from glory to glory to glory. And then you produce fruit. The butterfly does it effortlessly, without effort in the glory. Thank you and God bless you.
That's the transformation. You know what's so amazing is that when we go in, listen to this, all your life, you're born a caterpillar. All your life, you've been crawling. All your life, you see 6 inches in front of you. And when you go into this cocoon called John 17, oneness, where the Lord says, now I pray you come up to be with me where I am. It's this cocoon that I'm going to bring you into where you are in me, I am in you. And it's in this oneness, in this cocoon, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to transfigure you. I'm going to take your identity. See, as you're born the image of the earthly, you will also bear what? The image of the heavenly. I'm going to change your image. Just think about the caterpillar all its life. That's just all he's never known. But he goes in his cocoon and everything changes. The image changes. The color comes out. You go from a crawling, ugly worm to beautiful creation of light. This is what the glory does for you. This is why God's calling is up in this realm of transformation. You can either stay a worm all your life and crawl, or you can get up in the cocoon of God, in the oneness, and let him do the, that is the same word. It's metamorphosis. It's the transformation. We're all open face, behold him in his mirror, are changed, transformed, transfigured. That's what happened to the Lord. We go in and we're transformed and the color comes out. Now, if you don't do this, this is what happens to you. Now, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen for you. You got it? If you decide to remain like this, you got a choice. You're going to be a butterfly, or are you going to be, it's actually a caterpillar on a hook right there. You become fish bait. Who wants to be fish bait? You want to be stuck through with a hook? Or you want to be a butterfly? Now remember this. If you didn't hear anything else, I'm going to close with this. When you go into the cocoon of God, all your life you've seen yourself one way. God does not see the caterpillar. He sees the butterfly. That's why he accepts you. A lot of times people say, I can't come because you don't know I've been crawling on the ground all my life. I've been stepped on, abused. God said, I don't see you like that. That's why I told you, you can take all that you are and bring it into the presence of God. Because he sees what he's making you, not who you see you are. He sees your end from your beginning. Amen? Remember that when you hit the walls going into God, coming in for the life, because the life is your image. The life is where your color comes from. The life is the glory. He wants to restore the life. He wants to put wings on you so we can fly with God. When you're coming in there and the enemy's reminding you who you are, this earth crawling worm, remember who God made you. Remember, that's why I said Wednesday night, get you a picture of a butterfly, stick it on your wall, and every time the enemy's reminding him who you are, said, that's who I am. Right there. There's not one butterfly in all of creation that's the same. They all have unique color. Not one of them. Every one of you have a unique color in God. If you don't like your life, don't go changing your image here. You got to get with God and let him shift you into his image. Clothe you with a life and the glory. Amen. Somebody is about to get a massive transformation. Somebody's going to come out of the throne room of God clothed in something that's not of this world. A life that's not of this world. A glory that's not of this world. And all of creation will immediately recognize that life right there. That life has preeminence. It has dominion. It is dominion. You come back in the light, the world system will bow. That's why when the Lord showed up, the world started bowing down. Sin, sickness, demons, they all recognized what he was carrying was not of this world. They recognize their inferiority to his glory. We have been raised up together. And the sons of God in this generation will receive their image. It'll be fully restored. Sons, daughters of glory, the bride without spot and blemish. She's going to come back adorned in the life, adorned in the glory. Chris, get that song, Jesus Ready. Just put it into that segment we were doing. They're going to be clothed in the life, clothed in the glory. This is what we're after now. the Lord is shifting us from asking. When he told me, I'm trying to close. And when he told me, stop asking for things too far in front of you, the way he said, he says, ask in accordance to where you are in me. What do you see me doing right now? What am I showing you now? I know what I've showed you in the future. It is your guidepost. It is your compass. But what am I doing now? You want to know what he's doing now? Father, open the door to transformation. Open the door to transfiguration. Open the door to the room of life. Clothe us in the life. Restored. Do you have the audacity to go into the presence of God and ask him to clothe you in your original image? To transfigure you in light. Do you believe God can do that? If you don't believe it, it's because you can't see it yet. You gotta know. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. You gotta know. God is all about the restoration of our image.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.